a rich man's world. I have turned the song of this beautiful land, but that
God damn it.
We got the rookie draft coming up next week for the NFL. So we got the NFL rookie draft taking place next Thursday.
Dog, a day or a week from today. That's literally as we're speaking right now, they'll be opening up the draft. And hopefully, bro, I'm hoping that it's one of those years where it doesn't take all 10 minutes for the first pick to come in. Like, I really hate that shit, bro. Like, if I'm going to just keep it a buck here. Not a huge fan of having to wait those 10 minutes. So hopefully, like the WNBA draft where they knew it was going to be Caitlin Clark and we pretty much know it's going to be Caleb Williams. You know, hopefully it's more like 2 minutes, you know, and then we're over with it. Because I don't know, dude. I hate that shit. Like, I feel like the first two picks probably should be like 2 minutes. Everything over that, you can kind of chew it over. But, like, you should have a really good idea of who you're going to be drafting.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. You kind of just want it to happen, right?
Bro, there's no reason to like have like that anticipation or whatever you need. Like, I don't think they should
have 10 minutes to make a first round NFL draft pick.
No, I think they should and everything like that. Like, but like if you already know who you're going to draft, like I just hate it.
Yeah.
I just hate it.
I see what you mean.
I just hate it.
So actually, that's a good point and I want to get right to it. Draft capital, how much does it matter to you in translation, I guess, for your rookie drafts and dynasty, right? Like,
where they get drafted, like in the NFL drafts, like if they get drafted in like the second round, the first round, like that sort of cap?
Yeah.
So not, honestly, it's not a whole bunch if I'm going to keep it a buck. With quarterbacks, I probably have quarterbacks and wide receivers probably the most ideal. I mean, obviously with running backs, it's either you fit the system or you don't, it seems like, for the most part. So I feel like if you're a wide receiver, you're probably going to be getting more chances than not. And tight ends, I think, kind of the same. So then obviously quarterbacks, as I said, you're probably gonna get more benefit of the doubt to keep getting attempts, i.e. Zach Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying. Yeah. So not a bunch.
You can make mistakes.
Yeah. Like when I'm thinking of like draft cap, like when I'm going towards like my mocks and everything like that, like I'm just trying to think of like who I think is going to be drafted where. And that's kind of how I make those decisions in my mocks and stuff like that. Like I'm already kind of thinking ahead if I'm going to keep it a buck.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Because like, I don't know, like I feel like a lot of, like when it comes to like dynasty and stuff like that, I feel like it's a lot more scheme fit than anything. So like if you get like a Will Shipley on like the Rams, or if you get him as the backup for the Packers or something, like he's probably going to have a little bit more, you know, like what's up, like
welcome to the NFL moment.
Yeah, I would say it's going to happen a little bit sooner because he's going to probably be forced to actually be in action a little faster, or even just off a buck. Like I kind of think that he would be like a pretty decent number two on like the Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
So just throwing all that out there, just, you know, letting it sit.
Yeah,
I don't know, maybe in the Giants, who knows, behind Devin Singletary.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows, just throwing stuff out there. But like it's more like scheme dependent. So like if he fit, like if you were to be like a later draft pick, but like you have more of an opportunity to play right away,
yeah,
that's where I think is more beneficial and more valuable, rather than, oh, like this guy's a first round pick, but he's going to be sitting for 2 years.
So you rely pretty heavily on your prospect rankings then?
Yeah, I would say prospect rankings and then kind of where they fit. Yeah. Because like I said, if they fit somewhere perfectly, then I would definitely have them higher than someone that I might have had initially, like, neck and neck with them,
yeah,
but they didn't go to a favorable situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, well, let's talk about it. Let's get into our favorite prospects. You know, once again, next week we're going to be...
I feel like I have more shockers than you. I didn't get to see your list. You never showed it to me.
I never showed it to you, bro. I was going to keep it a surprise.
But I bet I have more shockers, realistically.
This weekend, guys, we'll be dropping our top five prospects at each position. So me and Dugo are going to do a side-by-side comparison of who we, you know, love at receiver, quarterback, running back, and tight end.
Yeah.
So we'll give you our top five prospects, and we'll let you know who those are. Today we're going to talk about it. We're going to give you a pretty rough outline. Things can change before they go up live Saturday. But, you know, we want to go ahead and talk about some of our favorite guys to draft. And Dugo, why not start off with wide receivers?
You want to start off with wide receivers?
Let's start with wide receivers, bro. Let's go ahead and get into it.
Sounds good. You want me to lead off or you want to start with the big guy?
Dugo, let me get your top five wide receiver prospects.
All right, man. So the first, do you want me to start with number one or do you want me to start with five?
I'm going to start with five. Let's calm down.
All right. Sounds good. So I actually had a tie at five. Okay. I have one that's probably people are going to shake their head like, yeah, of course. And I'm the other one probably going to raise your eyebrow. but I got Brian Thomas Jr.
at five.
Or Malachi Corley at five. So reason why I like both these guys is Brian Thomas Jr. I feel like can kind of just do everything. He's shown he can do it at a high level. I believe he had the most touchdowns in NCAA this year. So he's shown that he can do it, right? One thing I don't love is it seems like he has some concentration drops. But, you know, over time, hopefully those will fade away. I still like him as a prospect. I mean, he's still in my top five for this, for these, you know, prospects. I like Malachi Corley. He's kind of the same thing. Different receiver, but can do kind of the same output of what Brian Thomas Jr. can do. I think he has more sure hands, and I think that he can do a little bit more after the catch. I think he's a little bit more agile.
Okay.
Wait,
quick question. So,
yep.
Do you have Brian Thomas Jr. at five and Malachi Corley at four, or are you saying that both these guys are tied at five?
So I have them tied at five, guys. Okay. I'm cheating a little bit. I have these guys tied at
Cop out.
My bad, boys.
Cop out.
So, going to number four, I got A.D. Mitchell coming out of the University of Texas.
Oh, put some respect on A.D.
I like this guy. I feel like if he would have been, 30 pounds heavier, he might have gave me slight visions of what Megatron kind of was. Whoa. This guy is kind of a beast, dude. He has a large frame. Mm-hmm. He is a little bit on the slender side, but he does have a large body. I believe he's 6'3 or 6'4. Kind of gives me a little bit of a vibe of like a T. Higgins.
Yeah, 100%.
So, I mean, I think you've said that earlier in the shows and whatnot. And every time I bring up this guy's film, that's kind of just what I keep seeing. So, yep. A.D. Mitchell, number four.
Yep.
Number three, I'm going to go with some of the, you know, these are going to get a little bit more sure and sure. But I got Malik Nabers as three. I think he's a great athlete, obviously. I think he can do pretty much everything that you ask him to do. I just, when it comes to the wide receiver position, I think that size is premium for me.
You're saying size matters.
So being 6 foot, 200 pounds, like that's great for some positional stuff in the NFL, you know. He might be maybe a step toucher quicker maybe than some the next two guys that I'm going to be bring up. But at the end of the day, I believe that size does matter at that possession. So yeah. Malik Nabers, number three.
So recapping, you got BTR and Malachi at five. You got Adonai Mitchell at four. At three, you got Nabers.
Yep.
I wonder who you got at two.
Two, I got Roma Dunze.
Okay.
I got Roma Dunze. He's really good, man. He's everything I keep hearing about this cat. Even today, I was listening to, I believe it was Field Yates and Pete Schrager's mock draft that they had together.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Very interesting listen. Just really like listening to their to their thoughts because they're pretty locked in. So I feel like whenever I listen to their stuff, I'm getting a little bit of their knowledge as well.
Getting a little smarter.
So I really liked what they had to say. This guy was all business, all class, and ready to go. Mm-hmm. They didn't think that this guy was like a one-year wonder or, you know, was beneficial from any sort of like, oh, just air raid scheme. Like, they think that this guy will work in the NFL wherever you put him. So I really like Roma Dunze as well. And when you put him at 6'3", I believe 215, this guy almost gives me shades of, I don't want to say it, but a little bit like Terrell Owens.
Terrell Owens.
A little bit, dude. Like, this guy's just kind of a freak. This guy, he's very strong. I really like this guy's game. I think he might be a little quicker than what Terrell Owens was, but I don't know, man. Like, this guy just, when I'm watching him, that's kind of what I see.
When you put Malik Nabers at 3, and then you come in and you say, hey, I got Roma Dunze at 2.
Yeah.
What's the difference there? Like, what pushes Roma Dunze up your rankings ahead of a Malik Nabers?
Yeah, like I said, a lot of it's just size premium. I think that they're kind of the same as far as what they're going to be doing in the NFL. But I just think that that size is, like I said, a premium. I'm hoping that with a larger size and, you know, hopefully more meat on the bones, you're hoping that injuries won't be as much as a possibility. Obviously, there's no reason that you can go out and guess injuries, but it is one thing that you do have to look into. So that's why I have size as a premium.
Is Marvin Harrison your one?
He's my number one prospect in all of the draft.
Wow. Okay, that's bold. So, okay. I can understand where you're coming from. Marvin Harrison ahead of everybody else at wide receiver, though?
100%. Yes. 100%. Oh. Marvin Harrison Jr., he's going to be, I'm assuming, I'm guessing, generational at this position, folks.
Mm-hmm. I don't blame you for thinking that at all. I've been battling with that, too. You know me, I always feel like I got to be different.
Bro, I mean, I get that. Don't get me wrong. I understand wanting to have a different opinion, seeing the flaws within, you know, this glass ceiling or wall that we're seeing around us, thinking that we have to be these cookie cutters, everyone has to have the same consensuses, et cetera, et cetera. No, I'm not about that, and you'll see that in my quarterback rankings.
Okay.
But I'm just thinking that Marvin Harrison Jr., he's shown that he can do it with a star quarterback being C.J. Stroud and then also with a terrible quarterback, Kyle McCorg, this last year. And he was very productive both years. So I say all that to say this guy's going to be a boss at the next level.
Yeah. Marvin Harrison's probably as locked in and as guaranteed of a star as you'll find in this draft class. Dugo, I mean, my list is going to be kind of similar.
All right, I want to hear it, bro. Start me out with number 5. Who you got?
At number 5, I got a guy who a lot of people are kind of doubting right now. A lot of mixed reviews.
He's a truther.
A lot of mixed reviews there, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to lock in on Adonai Mitchell at 5.
Okay, I respect it. I got him at 4. Interesting at 5. Okay, I want to hear this. What's going on with him?
The reason I have Adonai slightly lower than where you have him is because Adonai Mitchell, I think, is going to work, but it's going to be some development needed in that first year. He needs to end up in the right system, and as we record this, we do not know where he is going to land. I have no idea what team. I feel
like he's
going to
be a Chief.
Like, if he ends up on the Giants catching passes from Daniel Jones, I can't do anything about that. But you know what? I'm going to stay true to the title of the draft, and this is going to be a prospect ranking. I like Adonai Mitchell as, like, the next T. Higgins, right? I like him as a solid wide receiver, too, for you moving forward. Some other guys you can compare him to is, like, Mike Williams a little bit, right? He's a big Z wide receiver outside. That game's going to translate well. I think he's going to be a really great prospect. So I got Adonai Mitchell at 5. But I'm actually going to put in a player at 4, Dugo, that I didn't hear you mention.
Okay.
And that was Xavier Worthy.
Okay.
Xavier Worthy was Adonai Mitchell's kind of running mate at wide receiver. And Zay was a big play waiting to happen. I think my guy had 77 catches last season at Texas. And he's one of those elusive receivers who can work outside as an X receiver. You can put him at slot. He can come out of the backfield. he's probably going to go in motion a few times a game, and he might even get a backfield or a quarterback snap. He's just an all-around crazy athlete, and he's the same guy who broke the 4.240. So I think he's going to end up in a situation where he's going to get his touches, because it would be so easy to just force some touches. But I kind of worry about his size a little bit.
That's my biggest thing with him.
Like, what's your opinion of Xavier Worthy? I guess, why wasn't he in your top five?
Yeah, so, I mean, we talked about size being a premium for me. And, I mean, just being 5'11", 5'10", whatever he is, and 170 pounds, if he's even that. It's, I don't know, man. I just don't love the... It's not a great combo to me. I just feel like there's a lot of injuries waiting to happen. I mean, not even just talking about, like, the inevitables, like the big hits and stuff like that. But I just feel like being that lanky or not having that much muscle around you, there's just some of those, you know, like quick or and he's so reliant on like those quick twitch movements. I mean, it's just it's easy to see like those ACLs and other joints like that just go away just because you try to do one quick cut.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. There's obviously those can happen to pretty much anyone at any size. But I just feel like they're, it's more impactful to those cats, and it's, I feel like it, we see it a lot more often with those guys as well. Mm-hmm. And so that's just where I'm at with it, and I feel like once you have one of those injuries, it's hard to get all that speed back.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's his X factor thing, and so if you take that away from him, then I'm sorry, then he's not really much to me.
That's fair.
So that's why I have him lesser. I think... If I had to do a whole ranking, I would probably put him closer to like 8, 9, 10.
Mm. Okay. And I respect that too. Because my biggest thing with Xavier Worthy was, yeah, that size is a little bit scary if he's playing outside as like a X receiver.
Well, even inside, dude, like if you get in the mix with linebackers and stuff like that, like sure, you can outrun all of them. But if one of them has you in their crosshairs, that's a scary play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's one of those guys who would really benefit getting put in motion. I'd like to see him in like a zone style of offense. So maybe like Cincinnati, Minnesota, Green Bay, Atlanta. Those would be some really cool spots to see him at. But Xavier Worthy, I had to put him at 4. And at 3, I'm going to go ahead and put Malik Nabers there.
Okay, respect.
Malik Nabers is 3rd out of the big 3 at receiver. So that big 3 includes Marvin Harrison Jr. and Rome Odunze. But the reason I got Malik Nabers at 3 is because I think he's going to make a lot of big plays happen because he's going to get the opportunity. He's going to get the draft capital. But once again, staying true to the prospect and what I see on the field. I worry about his hands sometimes. He has maybe like the least secure hands of the big 3. If we're including Marvin Harrison, if we're including Rome Odunze, both those guys have better hands than Malik Nabers, in my opinion.
Agreed.
And that's a really important part of playing wide receiver. Can you catch the ball? Right now, he's probably has the most room to improve. And the two things that matter to me as a receiver, the two most important things at least, are your route running ability, which he has a lot of, but reliability at the catch point. Like, will you catch the ball if I give you the targets? And he does that, but at 2, I think Marvin Harrison does it better.
No way. At how? How do you have him at 2? I need to hear why you have, I'm assuming, Rome above Marvin Harrison Jr. I need to hear why.
Marvin's physical profile just don't, like, it doesn't get it. I want to say this the right way. Marvin Harrison's a great route runner. He's going to do all that technician stuff extremely well as a wide receiver. But when it comes to just pure targets, I don't think you can feed him 180 targets, 200 targets in a season. I don't know. Like, he's just like a lighter frame.
I feel like what he did at Ohio State, especially this last year, has shown that he can take on that workload if need be. I'm not sure exactly what the whole number was, but I know that Ohio State wasn't really productive unless he was getting targeted. But it's crazy, dude. I just think that Marvin Harrison Jr. Is overall a better prospect than Rome Odunze. But I respect your opinion. Like, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, Roman Dunsay is my number one wide receiver.
I mean, I don't know, bro. Like, don't get me wrong. I saw he gives me kind of flashes of almost Terrell Owens. So I think he's a world-class receiver. I just think Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be the next best thing. I think we're going to be talking about Marvin Harrison Jr. as that cat that took the position forward.
Here's my reasoning on this, y'all, and I want y'all to take this for whatever it's worth. Marvin Harrison is going to be an amazing prospect, and I think he's going to be a great receiver in the NFL. But for fantasy, the two things that matter are talent and targets. Let me repeat that. It's talent and targets. The reason I have Roma Dunsay at number one is because I think Roma Dunsay, as a pure wide receiver prospect, has the talent, and because of his physicality, because of his, you know, slicker, or I guess thicker frame, and his ability to catch, you know, most of the passes, he's a grown up, he's going to step in and be a leader. The targets are going to be there, and I feel way more comfortable saying that with Roma Dunsay. Marvin Harrison is going to be a great receiver at all three levels of the field, but Roma Dunsay runs all three levels of the field extremely well. He would probably be wide receiver one in any other draft class. But beyond all that, you know, I think he's a guy who can go ahead and get you a couple more targets. He can handle that volume. Marvin Harrison had many more injuries. Not like a whole lot more, but, you know, he got, I guess, like knocked around a little bit easier, right? Like, if you got physical with Marvin Harrison, it was a little bit more of an issue. With Roma Dunsay, I mean, when you get physical with him, he beats you off the line of scrimmage. He changes his whole game. His route tree is spectacular. And that size difference, I think, really shows up at the NFL level a little bit more. But once again, you put a Blitnikoff winner like Marvin at two, and, you know, people are going to call you crazy.
I'm calling you crazy, bro. That's ludicrous.
People are going to call you crazy. But that's my wide receiver ranking.
Damn,
but
where you want to head to next?
Let's talk about quarterbacks. Let's talk about quarterbacks.
The big QB, huh?
Big QB, baby.
I want you to start this one off, bro. I want you to start this one out. Who you got for me at five?
All right. So at five, I got Bo Nix, big, strong, powerful thrower. He's a veteran at college. He has reps. He knows what he's doing. He's going to step in and understand the field a lot quicker. But he's also like a bigger, thicker build. I like Bo Nix a lot. I think that he's going to have to develop consistently delivering the ball. Like, it almost feels like sometimes he lets his arm do too much. And because of that, you never know, like, how hard the ball is going to be delivered. If it's going to be on point, is it going to be behind the receiver? He's just inconsistent with consistently delivering a good ball. So I got Bo Nix at five. At four, I'm going to go ahead and put J.J. McCarthy there. He's up there because of the rushing ability, but I don't think he has the arm of any of my top five guys.
Sheesh.
So J.J. McCarthy is number four. At three, I'm going to go ahead and put Drake May just because he lacks the rushing ability of my top two guys. And at two, I'm putting Caleb Williams. For fantasy football, he's going to be, I think, productive, but he doesn't have the rushing ability of Jaden McDaniels, who I have as my QB1. But yeah, at five, I got Nix. Four, I got McCarthy. Three, I got Drake May. Two, I got Caleb Williams. And at one, I got Jaden Daniels.
So honestly, a little bit more similar than I thought. So to mine, at least. So at five, I have Michael Penix Jr., I just think that he is a great thrower of the football. I think that he's going to end up being probably a little bit better than what Geno Smith is. And so I think that's going to be a startable quarterback in the NFL, especially if you can give him talented weapons to throw to. Overall, what sets him apart to me from Bo Nix and some of the other cats that did not make the list, I would say, first of all, I think his deep arm or his deep throws are probably one of the more elites in the draft class. And I just think that at the NFL level, that will be extremely useful. Obviously, he has to get in rhythm with the homies here in the NFL, but We'll see that when it happens. I also think that he does have good rushing upside. I believe he ran a 4.4 or a 4.5 as pro day. So he's definitely a true athlete. So I really like Michael Penix Jr. What were you going to say?
I was going to ask for a comp for Michael Penix.
Shoot, that's tough off the spot. But let me say...
I'll give you mine.
Okay, sure.
My comp for Michael Penix was like a little bit like Carson Wentz. Big, agile guys. They kind of have a similar throwing motion, which is why I think I got Carson Wentz. But, I mean, they're mobile when they need to be. They have really strong arms. You know, you work on the footwork and the ball placement, but they're kind of just two athletes who performed pretty well in college, I guess.
So I don't mind that comp, but if I'm going to go like comp size for size, everything like that, give me Tua. Give me kind of like Tua. I think that he'll end up being more successful than Tua if I'm going to keep it a buck. But I would say size for size comp to what he can be is Tua Tagovailoa.
Okay. So 2-6-1. Okay. I see where you're coming from with that.
And then going to 4, I actually have the same J.J. McCarthy. I didn't necessarily put him up there because of his rushing ability, though he does have that. I just think that he's definitely one of the better – I mean, not to say that none of these guys are not great leaders, but it definitely just seems like he has a knack for winning. And so I really like that, especially on my team. He also has the arm, I believe – to be able to throw the ball pretty much anywhere he needs to. When you looked at the combine, he was, I believe, one of the higher throwers when it came to ball speed and whatnot. So I do believe he does have that ability if needed. Number 3, I actually have Caleb Williams. I just don't know if he's going to end up working in the NFL. Number 2, Drake May.
Wait. I can't just let you. I can't let you skip past that. You got to tell me more about Caleb Williams. You said you don't think Caleb Williams works in the NFL.
I don't know if it's going to end up completely working, dude. If you ask me completely, I think he has all the skills and stuff. I don't know if he's going to be the next Patty Mahomes, but I think that he does have some really good abilities. But I think he's kind of a head case if I'm going to keep it a buck. So I don't know if maybe the pressure had gotten to him after his Heisman winning season or what have you, but it definitely seemed like something flipped in his head after that season. And this last season, I didn't see any of that last or what he did his junior year.
So
or sophomore year.
You think he like took his foot off the pedal? I guess?
I don't know exactly. Like I just didn't see the same Caleb Williams I felt like out there on the field. Like he still made some good throws. I mean, he made Brennan Rice a really good receiver, gave him a good prospect grade going into his last year. But all in all, I just didn't really feel like he was all there. So I don't know, man. I that's just the way I saw it. Especially, I mean, like obviously everyone wants to be a true competitor and a winner and everything. But after that one loss they had, when he was crying in the stands with his family, like I'm sorry, bro, but like sometimes you just gotta eat a L. I just think that something might have flipped in his head, and I just don't like a guy that thinks that everything's kind of just given to him if that's the way he's gonna be acting after a loss. That's just the way I see it.
What is, as a pure prospect?
Yeah, I mean, I have to put that into his prospect grade. And so I think he has a lot of really good abilities. I think that he's a good thrower of the football.
I'm not asking you to change your ranking, but as a physical prospect, where is he just as a pure quarterback?
Yeah,
his abilities
3.
On the field.
3.
Really? So you got, let me hear who you got ahead of Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I got Drake May at 2. I really like his size, his stature, and I do think that he has rushing ability out there. I don't know if it was necessarily shown all that much this past season. I think that he lost a lot of his offensive line from the year before where he was able to show some pretty decent rushing ability. But he does have some giddy up in those legs.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that he has a hell of an arm as well, so I could see this guy end up being something close to, I mean, kind of like what people thought like with Josh Allen, if he could have had that upside. That's kind of what I see with this guy being 6'4 and 230. That's what I see in him.
This is a random question, but do you have this quarterback draft class looking more like the 2020 draft class, right? With Jordan Love and Justin Herbert, Tua, Joe Burrow. Or do you think this is more of like what we saw the following year in 21, where we got Trevor Lawrence, but then you get guys like Mac Jones, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and not a lot else?
I mean, it's hard to say, but if I had to give a rough opinion right now, I'd probably say more closer to the 2020 class.
That's kind of how I feel. I feel optimistic with the class.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of places where you guys could be a starter this year or in a year or two. So,
Drake May is prospect fatigue like I've never seen before.
What do you mean? Explain that for me.
A year ago, Drake May was arguably QB1 in this draft class over Caleb Williams, and that was after Caleb Williams had that crazy sophomore year at USC. He transferred from Oklahoma.
Right.
Last year, people loved Drake May, and Drake May's talent, like, left the building, right? Like, he lost some talent, obviously.
Well, I think that one thing that people don't talk about as well is that he lost Drake May this year. He didn't have the same offensive coordinator or quarterback coach that he had the following season. So I think that that does take a little bit out of the wind of his sails.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, all in all, the guy is still a really good prospect, if you ask me.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's – I have Caleb Williams ahead of Drake May.
No, and I respect that. Don't get me wrong. I respect that. And I think that Caleb Williams has – possible bright future out there, right?
I don't think either. Like, I mean, and like, guys, we're just giving our opinions on these guys as players, so it's just like we don't know anything yet. This is all without knowing where they're going to be in the NFL, what team
right.
they're going
to
play
mean,
for.
If Drake May were to, you know, end up on the Patriots with no other weapons other than who they have right now, I mean, I'm a little bit more scarce of that position.
Yeah,
but yeah, as of right now, I think that Drake May could be a stud out there. I really do.
Okay, and who's your one?
Jaden Daniels.
Got it.
100%, dude. I mean, that guy's an absolute stud. I'm excited to see what he can do in the NFL.
Look at that, bro. We agreed on that.
Hell yeah, bro.
Jaden Daniels, yeah. Rushing upsides there. He's a great passer. I think it all works out.
Yeah, man. I'm thinking something close to, I mean, Lamar Jackson-esque. I mean... Mm-hmm. I don't know, we'll see exactly how that rushing upside ends up being in the NFL, but I think he's definitely going to utilize his legs more than, you know, what we see Patty Mahomes or Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Hurts, whoops.
See, the upside with Jaden Daniels is really high because with Jaden Daniels, if he can get you maybe 45 to 50 rushing yards a game, boom, that's 5 points there. If he's, I think he's one of the better passers in this draft class.
I agree. Like, bro, I got to bring it up, though. That picture of his elbow still freaks me out.
Yeah, the picture of his elbow is kind of crazy. Some team, like, bro, some, like, team rep in, like, the scouting department just saw that shit and was just like, bro, like, put that on Twitter and see if he falls.
For real.
They're like, bro, like, isn't this weird? Like, I ain't never seen a
super
shit like this
before.
Super weird,
bro. Nah. I agree 100%, though. I do think that this guy could be an absolute stud. So, I mean, especially if he ends up in Washington where he has someone like Scary Terry to be number one right away. I think that's sicko.
If he ends up in Washington, I'm buying some Jahan Dotson stock, too.
Bro, Jahan Dotson with Jaden Daniels is crazy.
If y'all really believe everything that's been said and y'all think Jaden Daniels ends up in Washington, Jahan Dotson, who's a deep threat like on that offense, and you know he got first round draft capital 2 years ago,
y'all,
hasn't really had a consistent quarterback. It's been Carson Wentz and then it was Sam Howell,
bro, and Curtis Samuel's gonna be out of that room too.
Curtis Samuel takes away you know, you inherit those routes now, so you get some shorter routes, easier completions. Yeah, man, I think you should be buying Jahan Dotson stock now.
I agree.
Yeah,
no, I actually do like that analysis. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Running backs. You want me to go at running back, or you want to start?
Let me go ahead and start this
one.
Oh
shit!
Let me go ahead and start this one. So number five at running back, shock the nation. Will Shipley.
Will
running back
Shipley
Clemson.
Who does he remind you of?
I mean, it's tough to say. I mean, everyone just goes ahead right away and says Christian McCaffrey because of the whiteness.
White.
But
yeah, this dude's like,
nah, it's one of those where I have to like bite on my cheek a little bit because I kind of want to say Miles Sanders a little bit, But I just feel like he's a better catcher in the backfield than what Miles Sanders is.
That's kind of where I was going with it. Like, he's – I like his profile. I'll get into him on when I talk about my list as well. Sure. But I like Will Shipley a lot, and I think his game's going to translate to the modern-day NFL with, you know, his ability to catch passes. So.
100%. I feel like he has all the tools that you need in the backfield as a running back, either – being number one or even just a fill-in number two guy. I just think that this guy has all of those abilities.
Well, you know, we talk about Trey Benson a lot. I'm excited to hear where you have Trey Benson ranked.
Facts.
But coming into the year last year for college football, Trey Benson and Will Shipley were like the two guys in the ACC.
Yep.
They were like the two running backs kind of going like head-to-head. Will Shipley had a great college career. He's been pretty underrated in this whole draft process. I thought he would get a lot more hype than he got. But I like that at five, and I believe in Will Shipley too, and I'm excited to talk about him some more.
Hell yeah. So number four, I got our boy Braylon Allen, running back from the University of Wisconsin.
Braylon.
I've said it all offseason, guys, if you've been listening in. I think that this guy has shades of what King Henry is. I think that this guy has all the ability in the world to be a number one running back, three down back in the NFL, and he's only 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, someone who I think has just one more tool than what Braylon Allen does, which is catching the ball elite out of the backfield, is Jalen Wright, University of Tennessee. This guy is extremely quick, fast, twitchy. Can do pretty much anything that you want. The one thing that I might have a knock on him is his pass blocking ability, I believe, isn't the greatest, but that can only get better in the NFL. You would hope getting into a true locker room, all that good stuff. Kind of gives me a little bit of a vibe of Aaron Jones. Not exactly sure where his heart is compared to what Aaron Jones is, though. Number two, I got Trey Benson.
Trey Benson at two.
It's kind of a toss-up between these two at one and two. But as of right now, I'm just going to stick with my gut and say that Trey Benson is the second best running back in this class. He has all the abilities, all the tools. He is going to be a special one in the NFL, folks. Next one, I got Jonathan Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Coming off an ACL, which isn't the greatest. But whenever I watch this guy's film, this guy just, he gives me a lot of shades of what we've been saying all off season, and it's that this guy is elite.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not exactly sure who I have as a comp for this guy. There's a lot of shades that I see. He has all the tools, man. He's going to be a special one, I believe. So
was he on the bench behind Bijan?
Yeah, Bijan, Roshan Johnson last year. He was on the bench just kind of chilling.
That's a crazy running back room.
Extremely.
All right. Yeah, I like Jonathan Brooks a lot, too. And that's kind of been the conversation between one and two is Jonathan Brooks and Trey Benson.
Yeah, I think the injury makes it maybe a little bit closer. If he wasn't coming off the injury, I believe he'd probably be far and beyond my number one. But, I mean, just all signals are pointing towards he's going to be 100% come training camp. So that's kind of where I'm just like, fuck it.
He's going to work in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
At one, oh, man, it's been tough, man. It's super close between
all right, well, let's not start at one then. Let's start at five. Give me your five. Let's go.
Yeah, man. My one's crazy. At five, fifth best prospect is probably going to be, I'm going to steal Will Shipley. I like Shipley a lot. He needs to be mentioned in the top five because of that pass catching ability.
Y'all.
But he's not like the same athlete that some of these other guys are. So,
well, that's just the thing. Like, I feel like he's one of those guys that's going to be a huge scheme fit. If he gets into,
gonna matter a lot.
Yeah, if he gets into the correct fit, I think that guy can be an absolute beast.
Mm-hmm. So Will Shipley's at five for me. At four, I'm gonna probably have to put Ray Davis there.
Interesting. I don't mind that. I just feel like I don't know if he's necessarily in my top five. I would say top ten for sure. But give me some reasoning behind it because I mean I like his film, but. I just don't know if he's that guy when it comes to the top five in this class.
So Ray Davis is a super interesting prospect because, right, like we've talked about it all episode, but, you know, you want a guy who can step into the NFL and look like he belong. And Ray Davis kind of will do that, I think. You know, he has the size and frame at 5'11". I think he's over 200. So those.
Oh, yeah. He's like 230 damn near, I think.
Big guy. And he can go ahead and absorb those hits. He's like a bowling ball. But for what he can do in the open field, it's actually pretty impressive. He's able to kind of like drop all of his weight and shift into either direction really quickly. Like he knows when to break down players and he knows how to, you know, not only do that, but he makes really great decisions when it's time to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
So he's either going to juke you out, he's going to run through you, but he's going to do either of those at a really, you know, high rate. And I think that he's going to get maybe late day two draft capital, maybe early day three. And I could see him stepping in somewhere, even like a Houston. For as many running backs as they had, I could see Ray Davis getting drafted in Houston and just... And then ended up, you know,
I'd be pissed
beating some people out like a Joe Mixon or Damian Pierce.
I don't know if he's gonna beat out a Damian Pierce.
Damian Pierce needs to kick his.
No, I mean he needs to do a little bit better than he did last year, but
you know,
yeah. So who you got at three then, bro?
Three. I got Jonathan Brooks.
What?
Oh, I got Jonathan Brooks as a pure prospect at three.
What?
I like Jalen Wright at two, just because of, once again, that pass catching ability that he has. But he's really great in space as well. And at one, I got Trey Benson. I could regret that. Trey Benson is also like kind of heavy on scheme fit. He needs to end up in the right situation.
Damn, weren't you just talking about pure prospect grades for?
I know
Jonathan, and the next thing you say is he's huge on scheme. But what the wall? That's a double-edged sword.
I like Jonathan Brooks. I love Trey Benson's profile and his just breakout ability. Like he has a lot of breakout ability. Like he's the player who's most likely to make big plays happen most consistently. Trey Benson is.
That's fair. I like him, bro. Don't get me wrong. I liked him when he was at Florida State. He's a great prospect. I had him at number two, so.
I got Jalen Wright at number two just because that pass catching profile is going to allow him to play longer. So in a rookie dynasty draft, give me the guy who I think has a little bit more longevity.
I respect him.
And, yeah, Jonathan Brooks, who's going to be a great player. He's going to work almost anywhere he goes. I like him for, like, the immediate future, like the next 2 to 3 years he'll be solid, really good maybe, but long term I like Trey Benson and Jalen Wright a little bit more.
So, fair enough.
Yes, that is my list. And Dougal, your favorite tight ends. We got top five tight ends.
That could have been really bad. So top five, starting with number five, I'm gonna go to Tight End University, and that's Eric All coming out of University of Iowa. I like his size, his ability to be able to be a good blocker, and obviously, like most Iowans, he hasn't been able to show off his passing ability or his catching ability, but trust me, it's there. He's a great athlete. Excited to see what this guy can do at the next level. Number four, I got Tanner McLaughlin. I like this guy a lot. He actually beat Gronk's record at the University of Arizona as far as total catches. This guy, I believe, is going to be one of those cats that is close to, I believe, like Greg Dulcich was. Really excited to see where this guy ends up. I think that he can do most things, but I believe he's probably most fitted as a receiver. So I believe he probably has a little bit more fantasy upside than what an Eric All has just off rip.
Okay.
Number three, I like Cade Stover out of the University of Ohio State. So I think that this guy, we've talked about him before, but he gives me a little bit of a shade of what Jake Ferguson is. I think he can do all sorts of things at the NFL level, especially blocking in the run game. So I think that he's going to be out there for most snaps. He has a large frame. He's able to you know, do pretty much anything out there. Large catch point or catch radius. He's that guy. Number two, Jatavion Sanders out of the University
JT.
Out of the University of Texas.
JT's a dog.
Yeah, I believe we talked about this guy before. I think that this was the guy that gives me kind of shades of what David Njoku is. Mm-hmm. This guy's just a beast out there. Then number one, obviously, Brock Bowers coming out of the University of Georgia. This guy is just a freak. I'm excited to see what he can do. If you get him in your dynasty leagues, hold on to him.
He's going to be a dog. He was,
hold on to him. He's going to be special.
He was the leader at Georgia for receivers, at least, at tight end. So he's a super promising prospect. People are calling him generational duo.
Yeah, there's like three or four generational guys in this class, I believe.
I don't know how I feel about that word ever since Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts got to show out and got
yeah, but he got him a bit. And plus, he was coming out of school that wasn't necessarily all that well or all that amazing. It was Anthony Richardson a year before he came out. I don't know. I'll take all that with a grain of salt.
I like Kyle Pitts this year with Raheem Morris. I think he's going to go ahead and make an effort to go ahead and see what he has to offer. But tight ends, I don't know shit
Raheem
about.
Morris is a defensive coach, dude. He ain't going to have shit to say.
I feel like he'd have the most to say at tight end.
We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
Might be able to identify a good tight end or two.
We'll see what happens. See what happens.
Top five prospects at tight end for me. This is a field to where I'm not as like savvy. I'll tell you all that off the rip. But at five, I would put Cade Stover. Kind of like Dugo said, he's going to be a great blocker as well. So he'll get his reps on the field. And, you know, sometimes at tight end, you just need to be available and be playing. So give me Cade Stover at five. At four, I'm going to select.
Bro, you don't even know five tight ends in this class.
Bro, I'm looking at a list, though. Bitch ass. Bro, check this out. At four, I'm going to go with Jaheim Bell just for upside. Jaheim Bell is, he looks more like a receiver on the field. He played for South Carolina next to Xavier Leggett. But he's kind of more of like that modern day, hey, you can flank him out. He's going to do a lot of what Dalton Kincaid did. You see more from in David Njoku, in which the tight end just lines up as a like a slot receiver. Jaheim Bell has some upside if he lands in the right system. He's a pretty fluid athlete. He has enough twitch to him. Kind of undersized for like the traditional tight end, but he can catch really well. So you got to put him in there for fantasy. At number three, I will go ahead and go with Theo Johnson. Similar, a little bit bigger than Jaheim Bell. He'll be a lot more he'll be doing a lot more work in line. Theo Johnson will. At number two, let's go with Jatavion Sanders, JT. You know, had the benefit of playing with the Dine Mitchell and Xavier Worthy at Texas. He was like their inside threat. I think he's gonna kind of go the Darnell Washington path of, you know, he has the talent, he has the size. But you maybe want to develop his game a little bit more.
Develop his game.
A little bit more. And at number one is Brock Bowers. It's Brock B. He was the leader at Georgia for receptions. He led that offense. That was a pretty damn good team and offense.
Damn good team.
And, you know, you got to work on his blocking game a little bit more at the next level, unless you plan on, you know, Dalton Kincaid and him, Dallas Goedert, doing a Dallas Goedert, and just keep him, you know, out there as a receiver. But he's going to work regardless of where he ends up. And the guys who, you know, will just work are the guys who I feel most comfortable putting at my number one position.
100%. What are your thoughts? Like, I've been seeing a lot of mock drafts recently that are saying that he might be going to the Jets. What are your thoughts on that?
I've never really seen Rodgers with too many tight ends. I saw the great year that JerMichael Finley was able to have back in the day.
Yep.
I think that was like 2011, 2012. And then obviously, yep, most recently it was Robert Tonyan, who had a pretty good year back in 2018 or 2019. Most recently, I haven't really
kinda
seen him.
Kind of sucks for the Jeremy Ruckert stock.
Yeah, not great if it happens. But if Brock Bowers goes there, they'll figure it out. I wouldn't like that for as far as like the team potential. The Jets are always a mess. They always like figure out how to fuck up a good thing. So, you know, that's not great. But as far as Brock Bowers' stock, I like him wherever he goes. And
hell yeah.
I would take him in like the top five picks in a one quarterback dynasty rookie draft.
I agree.
Yep. But that's all I got. We're still waiting on news for guys like Rashee Rice. One stance, I don't know if I really like kind of put it out there before, but with all this legal stuff, we see highlight videos of Rashee Rice working out with Patrick Mahomes. So we obviously hope that all parties come out of this, you know, with resolutions that work for them. But as far as dynasty and, you know, taking in trade offers for Rashee Rice and, you know, people saying that, hey, I want to acquire Rashee Rice. Keep in mind, they did draft, or they didn't draft, but they traded for Hollywood Brown, who's going to be a threat. I think Travis Kelce has a couple more years. They re-signed to Clyde Edwards, and I think they're going to draft another receiver. This offense is going to work regardless of the Rashee Rice situation, and I think this might potentially end up with Rashee ending up on the commissioner's exemption list. So this draft season, if you can get rid of Rashee Rice for a second-round pick, I'm doing it. I understand he had one great year, but the Chiefs don't really judge anyone by 1 year. It's what can you do over the course of a career. And, you know, that'll be an interesting story to watch. But I'm not exactly looking to acquire Rashee Rice for cheap right now.
I mean, if I could get him for, like, cheap, like a third or a fourth, I'd probably do it realistically.
Yeah. And maybe I could phrase that better. I wouldn't spend a second-round pick to go get Rashee Rice. But if I could get a second-round pick for Rashee Rice,
I respect that.
That'd be cool with me. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I get what you mean.
And yeah, I guess any draft predictions with the draft next week?
Dog. I think that there's going to be, let's go with five quarterbacks taken in the first round.
Who do you think those five are?
We're going to go with Jayden Daniels, Caleb Williams, Drake May, JJ McCarthy.
I think Bo Nix or Penix.
And then I'm going to go with Penix. Penix will be number five.
Mm-hmm. It'll be Denver taking some, like, either Penix or 100%. Or dude.
Could definitely see that. And then Marvin Harrison Jr., first wide receiver off the board.
Do you think he's in L.A.? Do you think he falls to five? Or
I could definitely see him being a Charger. Depends on if the Cardinals were to trade their pick or not.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't, then I definitely think he's going to end up being a Cardinal. If not, then definitely a Charger, I believe.
Cardinals, I think, are going to be a sneaky good landing spot for Roma Dunze. I think the Cardinals do some shit and they trade back, and I think Roma Dunze falls there, and I like that fit a lot. So that's my like my hot take, is Roma Dunze is going to end up on the Cardinals.
I like that fit a lot as well, realistically. So, yeah, if it happens, it happens. It'd be pretty sicko.
For real. All right. Well, we love y'all. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Fantasy Football with Gumbo. My name is Ja.
Hey, it's Dugo over here. Appreciate y'all tapping out those head tops.
Hit that subscription button below. Make sure you guys follow and tune in every week when we drop new episodes. But we'll see you guys next week, closer to the NFL draft. Hope you guys have a great week. We'll talk to you later.
Peace.